Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York and a brand new father. Empire New York is an online aggregator for New York State political news. You can find out more at www.empirereportnewyork. That's www.empirereportnewyork.com. J.P. John Paul Miller was formerly Mitt Romney's New York, New Jersey, Connecticut finance director in both 2008 and 2012. Welcome, J.P.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Well, J.P., I love having you here because you read more about New York State politics than anybody I know. And every morning, the first thing I look at is the Empire Report. The reason for that is what we call an aggregator. You put together all the stuff and you put it together in the most interesting way. And not only that, you know what people really want. So politics, blah, 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 you know, all of the rest. But you also tell us that the weather is going to be sinful.
Yes. The weather's a big traffic driver, is the weather, especially in the winter. And in the summer, you'll be hearing about shark attacks off Long Island.
Shark attacks.
Yes.
You know, my name is Alan Chartok, and I have a friend at Channel 13 where I used to be all the time, and my nickname was Shark Attack.
Shark Attack Chartok. You will see that headline this summer on the Empire Report.
Right. And I remember the lifeguards waving us out of the water when there were sharks on Fire Island, outside of Fire Island. They would wave everybody and say, they put up a red flag and say, can't go in the water. So you're able to, correct me on this if I'm wrong, you're able to trace by your stats who's reading what, right?
Absolutely. And the reason why I put up news stories for your listeners to read and my readers to read is because we know by our back end statistics what people want to read about. So people want to read about Preet Bharara. People want to read about Donald Trump. People want to read about Kristen Gillibrand. These are the names, these are the stories that people want to read about, and not the boring policy issues that happen in Albany.
So let me ask you this. Do the people want to read about the weather?
People do want to read about the weather. They want to be the first to know about the snow coming. But I'll give you an example of a story that we had on last week that no New York news source had on except for us. And that is that Chris Cuomo was attacked by Donald Trump being called fake news. And Chris Cuomo, in my opinion, is an interesting New York person. He's the son of Mario Cuomo. He's the brother of Andrew Cuomo, and he's a big CNN contributor. And he compared being called fake news to having a black person be called the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And so then Chris Cuomo had to come back and apologize for this, because being called fake news is not equivalent to a black person being called the N-word. No New York news sources picked this up. The New York Post, the Daily News, the Albany paper, the Syracuse paper, no one picked it up except for the Empire Report. And we had a Daily Mail article from the UK and a Business Insider piece. So it was national news. It was in one or two dozen national stories, but no one in New York picked it up.
But then they picked it up after you had it. I know that because I saw it. And that's amazing. The whole use of political correctness and the N-word, and that stuff people are very interested in.
People are interested in that. And Chris Cuomo is a fascinating character.
How right? so?
Well, because he is the son of Mario, the brother of Andrew, and he's a very prominent CNN person. He's a national news figure. And so New Yorkers find him interesting. And for some reason, the press in New York is kind of scared to cover him when he makes a little mistake, which the Empire Report is not scared to cover him when he makes a little mistake.
Well, I look at him, and I certainly see his brother's face when I'm looking at Chris Cuomo. But somehow Chris Cuomo learned how to speak English in a way that his brother never did.
He is sharp. He's much better on the TV. He's much more facile with the English language. But he certainly gets into trouble on CNN from time to time. And we have a Google alert for Chris Cuomo. So we get every news story on Chris Cuomo. It comes to the Empire Report, and we get to decide whether it will be put up for our readers or not. And our readers love stories on Chris Cuomo.
Well, J.P. Miller, when you get up to do your daily work, what time do you have to get up in the morning?
I wake up every morning at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And have done a lot of work the night before, because a lot of news stories get filed the night before. and we send out our email at 6:30. If people aren't on our email list, they should absolutely join our email list. We've got over 40,000 people from around New York on our email list, and our email list is not overly burdensome with information. It's just the 25 headlines that we think are the most exciting, provocative news stories from around New York, upstate, downstate, Long Island, Westchester County, New York City, all the way up to the Canadian border. We're on track to have 1 million hits this month in the month of February, which is huge growth. We just started 8 or 9 months ago.
Well, there's nothing really like it, to be honest with you. I mean, there are other aggregators, of course, but, you know, I think you do a terrific job. Now, some people whisper in my ear that because your report looks a lot like Drudge, and Drudge is a right-winger, that you must be a right-winger also. Is that true?
Well, if I was a right-winger, I wouldn't be successful in New York. New York is clearly a Democrat state, and so I endeavor, and the Empire Report endeavors, to be a down-the-middle news organization and news aggregator. The news that tends to be exciting tends to be when people get in trouble, whether it's politicians, business leaders, etc. When a Republican does something to get themselves in trouble, we give them equal treatment on the Empire Report that we give the Democrats. We endeavor to be down the middle, fair and balanced news in New York.
Well, Fox says they're fair and balanced also. Don't you see?
I don't watch Fox News. I curate the Empire Report. We want to be down the middle, nonpartisan, and I think that our readers, if we were a right-wing news organization, there's no way that we would have the tremendous explosive growth that we have in readership.
No.
New York is a Democrat state, and we would not have the following, we would not have the power that we have if we were a right-wing news organization in New York.
Okay, J.P. Miller, talk to me about immigration. Seems to me that's a huge story. And we're reading about it. We're reading about people being taken away in the middle of the night, all the rest of it. When you look at your stats, are people interested in that?
The immigration debate is fascinating because people on the left are very motivated and excited about immigration. They do not think that illegal immigrants should be deported. The people on the right are also very excited about the immigration debate because they do think illegal immigrants should be deported.
But in New York, not to interrupt, but in New York, seems to me it's a bluer than blue state. You got more people on the protect the immigrant side than the other, or am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong about that, but the interesting thing on the immigrants is I believe that there were 40 immigrants rounded up in New York City over the weekend. That was a huge story on our site. But the people that they're rounding up are convicted criminals, felons, violent people. And so the people...
Well, not necessarily. There was that lady who had been reporting in regularly and doing what she was supposed to, two kids, a husband. She goes in there and they take her away.
I think the overwhelming majority of the people that they are targeting are violent criminals. And so the people on the left and the media are in a little bit of a quandary right now. They don't know whether to defend these illegal immigrant criminals saying, we should keep them here. These are the people that we want to defend. Or should they kind of let it go? And you see people in New York City and Los Angeles and elite people in the media are saying...
I told you you were a right-winger. Go ahead.
These people are focused on protecting illegal immigrants. And you go and talk to people in the middle of the country and say, boy, they're rounding up a couple of hundred people who are violent, illegal immigrants who have been convicted of crimes. Why is this such a big deal? We have a law in this country. We're simply following the law. We're simply enforcing the law. Why is this such a big deal? Why is there the outrage?
Well, there would be some people who take great exception to what you say and say they're just looking for the smallest infraction of a law that somebody here has. You know, like the lady I was just talking about, she had done nothing wrong. She was obeying all the laws. She was reporting regularly to the ICE people, and yet she was deported.
Well, some people would say simply coming into the country illegally is not a small violation of the law. That's a tremendous violation
of the
law. Some people would say that.
But listen, JP, you got 12 million people here, right? 11 or 12 million people who fit that definition. So if you're saying to me these are violent, all violent criminals because they came to the United States, I would take some exception to that.
He's not getting rid of 12 million people. He's getting a couple hundred of the worst offenders who were not being expelled by the Obama administration. And this is an issue that I think for Trump supporters, this is an issue that helps Trump. The people that are anti-illegal immigration, he's never going to get their vote.
But not in New York State, JP. In New York State, people hate the guy's guts.
Right. Well, he didn't win New York State.
So if he didn't win it, he doesn't want it. He's not going to make any amends.
Definitely not. All he needs is his supporters. He's got 90% approval ratings amongst Republican voters, which is pretty big, I would say. And the actions that he's taken in the first 3 weeks, I don't think have turned any of his voters into people that oppose him. Now, I don't think it's won him any new friends, but I think that for the people that supported him and the people that supported him delivered him over 300 electoral votes, I think that the actions that he's taken over the first 3 weeks, he has delivered on his campaign promises, he has angered the media, but he has not made any enemies of people that supported him originally.
Well, your former boss went out and gave the most stirring anti-Trump diatribe that I have ever heard, and I almost was ready to, you know, vote for Mitt Romney on the basis of that. How would he feel about your sort of being so defensive about Trump right now?
I wouldn't say that I'm being defensive about Trump. I'm simply trying to provide an alternative viewpoint to what the narrative is in the media about Trump. And I'm not saying that what he's doing is right. I'm saying that his supporters are all about what he's doing right now. Mitt Romney came out and he wants the country to do well. And what he's saying is, boy, there is a lot of protests. There is a lot of anger for Trump. He's been in the office for 3 weeks. Why not give this guy a chance maybe for 3 months or 6 months or 9 months and see whether his actions actually make the country a better place?
Well, except that we see who he put in his cabinet. We see the right-wing sort of takeover and putsch that is going on. We see the potential conflict of interest, the emoluments clause, and making money from all of this. It doesn't look healthy to an awful lot of people. And you know, I know you're going to take some great exception to this, JP, but they all said give Hitler a chance in the beginning also. And had they not said that, maybe the world would have been spared an awful lot of what came later.
Right. I understand your perspective and your viewpoint. I think he's built a tremendous cabinet. I watched Rex Tillerson's nomination hearings. The guy is one of the most smart and capable people that will have ever been the Secretary of State. And in terms of the emoluments clause and people saying, well, he's going to make a lot of money being president, this is a guy that's amassed a multi-billion-dollar fortune before being president.
Eight is never enough.
Well, there is no doubt that the guy will be richer after he's done being president than before.
Unless he's in jail, which he could be.
Unless he's in jail. But the Clintons, you have to remember, the Clintons came out, and what was their net worth when they left the White House?
Yeah,
it was
zero,
and they went and made $100 or $200 million.
As I've often said to my co-panelists, which I hope you'll join us on our morning panel, you know, two wrongs never made a right.
Right. Well, him being president of the United States, I will not argue the fact that he's going to end up personally getting further enriched by being president of the United States. A lot of his worth is built on his brand. His brand is certainly increased by being president of the United States. But he is not a guy who I think is indebted to special interests as politicians have been in the past. You look at his cabinet, look at Gary Cohn, okay? Gary Cohn from Goldman Sachs. This is a guy who opposed him, has been a lifelong Democrat, has contributed to liberals throughout his whole life. He is the definition of a Manhattan elite liberal, Gary Cohn. And Trump took someone with an opposing viewpoint and made him one of his top economic advisors.
Yeah, but what are his substantive views, the rich get richer?
He is not surrounding himself with lackeys that have their own agenda. He is surrounding himself with, my opinion, smart people that have a history of doing business and being successful in business. And I think that we're only 3 weeks in. A lot of these people haven't even been approved. That if we look back after a year or two, there's a potential that he'll do a good job. I'm not saying he's definitely going to do a good job, but let's give him a year or two to do a nice job. I don't remember the outrage when Obama took office. When Obama took office, it was like Jesus Christ is walking on water over to the White House and taking his place. And Trump hasn't been given a chance. Let's give the guy a chance.
Okay, let's go from there, where we have almost violent disagreement, to the relationship between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo talking about violence. What's going on between these two guys? Now we're seeing, budget proposal, His Honor accused of alternative facts in Albany, these guys are really getting worse now.
They don't like each other, and Mayor de Blasio is up for re-election this year in 2017.
Right.
He is highly likely to win re-election unless he gets personally indicted by Preet Bharara. He has requested a meeting with Preet Bharara, and many people believe that he is going to go in and either blame his lawyers or blame his staff and try and get out from this cloud. If he can get out from the Preet Bharara cloud, he's heavily likely to get reelected in 2017.
What if Trump puts some money in against him?
I don't think that there's a reason why Trump wouldn't want de Blasio. De Blasio is a nice foil for Trump, right? De Blasio in Trump's hometown is a liberal champion, and the stuff that Mayor de Blasio hits Trump on helps Trump nationwide. It might hurt him in New York City, but it helps him nationwide. So I don't think there's a reason why Trump wouldn't want de Blasio to be in office.
Can you think of a single candidate who could beat de Blasio in either a primary or a general election?
No. Unless he's indicted, he's going to be the mayor for another 4 years. I watch it very closely. I look at these candidates. These candidates, you've seen them for years, Alan. These Democrats come up and, oh, maybe we'll primary Governor Cuomo, and then they all chicken out. Am I right? You've seen it for years. So I think that all these guys that are potentially going to primary de Blasio are going to chicken out, and the Republicans have some strong candidates. I don't think any of them are strong enough to beat de Blasio.
Let's talk about...
Does that sound like a right-winger to you?
Yes, a little sort of. Let's talk a little bit about Andrew and his upcoming election, which, of course, would be in 2018.
Yes.
Anybody on your list, short list of people who could beat him?
Just Preet Bharara.
You know, I agree with that. I think if Preet Bharara decided he was going to eschew his prosecutorial robes and throw away his white wig, he could beat Cuomo. Although Cuomo is still immensely popular, all the polls show it in New York City and Long Island.
56% approval rating, Andrew Cuomo. I watch his news. This guy is the hardest working guy in New York. He goes around to every town in the state and hands the taxpayer money back to the taxpayers, and they love it. They get a front page story out of it. And Cuomo is a master. He's playing chess while the rest of the politicians in Albany are playing checkers. He's phenomenal at what he does.
His papa liked to play chess, too. I don't mean physically chess. But his father once told me, I try to figure out 6 moves in advance. And I don't think Andrew is as bright as Mario, to be perfectly honest with you. But he also doesn't come with some of the chains around him that Mario sort of obviously had. So we got de Blasio, probably. We got Cuomo, probably. I don't think Trump has any love for Cuomo. And I just recently saw a piece in which they said that Cuomo was on the watch list for the Trump people for somebody who might want to run for president, along with my favorite, Chris Murphy of Connecticut.
I've talked to people around Andrew Cuomo. He certainly has ambitions to run for president. So he is from New York State, which is a great place to run for president. He has a donor base of people that he knows enough billionaires in New York to fund a presidential campaign. He has the ambitions. I think the problem with Andrew Cuomo is he just doesn't, he might be playing chess in New York, but nationally he can't get there.
Why not?
Well, there is a liberal champion in the country, and her name is Elizabeth Warren, and it is a female, and she's from Massachusetts, and she could run circles around Andrew Cuomo, she could run circles around Kirsten Gillibrand, and she simply has that message, she has the voice, and she, I think, is going to be the Democrat nominee in 2020. She's going to give Trump a real run for his money. These Republicans say, oh, we hope we get Elizabeth Warren. She's a crazy liberal. She will give Trump a run for his money. She is the biggest danger to the Trump presidency.
He calls her Pocahontas because she once said that she had some Indian lineage in her background. Does that kind of thing hurt her?
No. If that's the best thing that you can come up with to attack Elizabeth Warren on, you've got big problems. I encourage you and your listeners to check out Elizabeth Warren's YouTube, where she went on David Letterman a couple years ago. And she basically had Letterman in tears. When you're a politician that you can make people laugh and you can make people cry, you can do anything. And that's what Donald Trump has. He has the ability to make people laugh and cry. Barack Obama had that, George Bush. And Elizabeth Warren has that. I think she's a huge danger in 2020. Andrew Cuomo may run. He's not going to get to first or second base against Elizabeth Warren.
So talk to me about what's going on in the New York State Senate. And everybody goes, oh, no, Alan, not again. But we have these Republicans. We have these breakaway Democrats who I call the traitors, who have for a couple of ounces of silver or whatever else have joined up with them. I think there may be a racist contingent part of all of this because, you know, the regular Democrats have more blacks and Hispanics within their group. But in any case, what do you expect to come out of this? Will these rogue Democrats who put the Republicans over the top, will they continue to do what they're doing?
The rogue Democrats during the last election have gained a couple seats and gained a couple members and gained power. But they have a big problem on their hands, and it's just percolated since Trump became president. And that is that the left are now protesting these rogue Democrats and saying, you people are empowering the Trump Republicans and allowing our state to be run by Trump Republicans. So these rogue Democrats are going to get primaried the next time that they're up, and they're going to lose members, and they are going to be running for the hills. And I wouldn't be surprised if 3 or 4 or 5 of them get beaten primaries. So this, I agree. 6 weeks ago, I would have said, Alan, this is a boring issue. This is going to be one of the most interesting issues going forward in New York, that these rogue Democrats are going to be tied to Trump and going to have big primaries on their hands. It remains to be seen how effective it'll be, but I think it's going to be really interesting. And this guy, Jeff Klein, is now one of the most powerful people in Albany. He kind of holds the keys. Stuff can't get passed in Albany without Jeff Klein's support. So he holds the keys.
And Cuomo on these rogue Democrats, I've always said, if he takes Klein in a room and takes him to the woodshed and says, hey, I have my left flank to worry about here. You've got to bring your people back over to the Democratic side. And you can continue to have your own caucus or conference. But in the end, you better be where you're supposed to be. Does he have that clout?
Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah.
I think he does. Andrew Cuomo's got a lot of clout. The thing that I remember about Andrew Cuomo was last year he wanted to pass a $15 minimum wage, and he got it passed without a single Republican voting against it. If this guy can get every single Republican state senator to vote for a $15 minimum wage, Andrew Cuomo can certainly do whatever he wants with the Democrats.
So
he's a powerful guy.
So doesn't that indicate that basically he likes the Republicans, he wants to keep them there, and when he has to, he can twist them?
Well, Andrew Cuomo likes to be in charge, and the way that he does that is he not only plays two groups against each other, but he has three groups against each other, which really means that no one of those three groups really has power. It's him that has the power. And the fact that, you know, we have huge problems in New York. We've got people leaving the state. We're 49th most competitive state in the country. And we've been spending in Albany the last 3 weeks talking about a plastic bag tax. Are you kidding me? And now it gets to Andrew's desk and Andrew can't decide whether to sign it or not. It's ridiculous.
Bill Perkins wants to run for the city council. We know this. People in the assembly don't like coming up to Albany. They like to be on the city council, but there are term limits on the city council. But he wants to go down there and be on the city council, which would, of course, mean that he would be upsetting the apple cart in the relationship between the regular Democrats and the rogue Democrats.
The answer is cash. What's the question? And so the reason he's running is because the city council gets paid more. It's all about cash with everybody, not just politicians. It's all about cash with everybody, but especially with politicians. He's doing that because he's mad that there was not a pay raise for state legislators.
Right. Now, Perkins can be nasty if he needs to. I mean, he's got a sort of nasty demeanor to him sometimes, doesn't he?
I don't know the guy personally. I read that he can sometimes have a nasty demeanor, but you're right in the fact that this whole workings between the Democrats and the rogue Democrats, with Trump becoming president and having these issues that are big issues for Democrats, illegal immigration, refugees. You know, you ask people in the middle of the country, they're not that excited about it. But liberals in New York City love this stuff. This is rocket fuel for the left wing. And there will be a lot of upsetting of the apple cart over the next 12 to 18 months with Trump and with the rogue Dems and the classic Dems.
Wonderful to have J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York State political news. It's a must-read every morning. You can find out more at www.EmpireReportNewYork. That's one word, EmpireReportNewYork.com. J.P., you're always welcome back here. We love your perspective, even though we sometimes don't agree with it.
Thank you, Alan. We love having your stories on the Empire Report. They always get tons of clicks and tons of traffic, not just your statewide column, but also your local column. Our readers love it, and we really appreciate you having me on the show.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.